Good morning to everyone. I won't look at the clock back there, it already says five after, so we're not that late. But let us calm our hearts and our minds as we gather to worship the Lord today and turn to song 45 in Sing the Story. In the purple book, 45. Calm me, Lord. And we'll stand and we'll sing it twice. Welcome to everyone who has gathered here this fall morning. The temperatures are finally cooling off. The days are getting shorter. I'm not sure if that's a good thing. The crops are almost in the bin. The gardens are looking emptier of produce. It has been a pretty good summer, better than we had anticipated, I think. And we are thankful for that. Did you see the beautiful sunsets this last week? They were just beautiful. Matt was on the combine and I'm trucking west to go home with the load many times. And we can see for miles and miles. That's a song, right? Singing it. And the sky is gorgeous. I hope some of you saw it in the city. When you leave the city and see the miles and miles, it was just beautiful. And I was thinking, you know, I think that's God using his paintbrush, creating those brilliant colors, the orange ball of the sun. And if you have to catch it right at the right moment, or else all of a sudden it's gone. But the colors still remain. And I was thinking, you know, I think that's God giving us assurance and hope that maybe the next day would be okay too. You know, every day we need to be okay and see what will happen. Because this last week was a week of fear and sadness and mourning for many people. May we, with the help of the Holy Spirit, be support and comfort to those who need it. If you could join me in the call to worship, it's in the Sing the Story, 190. Sing the story. I will be the leader and you can be the people. People of God, look about and see the faces of those we know and love. Neighbors and friends, sisters and brothers, a community of kindred hearts. People of God, look about and see the faces of those we hardly know. Strangers, sojourners, forgotten friends, the ones who need an outstretched hand. People of God, look about you and see all the images of God assembled here. In me, in you, in each of us, God's Spirit shines for all to see. People of God, come. Let us worship together. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather together today to worship you in word and song. Open our ears to hear your voice speaking to us, calling us, encouraging us, and challenging us. Bless this time together. Amen. Let us turn to Voices Together. I'm going to switch the songs around. It'll be on the screen if you have a book. It's number 11, Mountain of God. Let's stand, please. Thank you for that lovely singing and playing, Grace. So I wanted to sing a harvest song because that's the spirit these days. And that is 98 in the blue hymnal, Sing to the Lord of Harvest. Many imageries in there. You can picture them in your mind as you sing 98.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if someone is bringing up the offering this morning. Colin, thank you. We'll bless the offering and also bless the money that is being put into the bag for the school kits. We'll do that for the end of the month. Let us pray. Accept these humble gifts, we pray, and in our hearts forever stay. With these gifts, may you bring peace that suffering, want, and war may cease. Amen.
Good morning and welcome here. Those of us in the city, we're very ignorant. If you don't want to include yourself in that group of the ignorant, that's fine. But I claim to be ignorant, but I do. I'm interested. I'm intrigued by what goes on. I love to drive around and look and see how people are doing these things with the land. So when those who work on it let us in on their secrets, it's encouraging to us, and we know how to pray as well, because we don't want to hear about any mishaps, no accidents, no fires, and we long for, you know, good, successful harvest. So thank you for sharing with us. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the life that you have granted to us. We thank you for the new life that we can celebrate. We thank you for the fulfillment of life that comes, especially at a time of harvest, or even plucking produce from our gardens, recognizing beauty everywhere, continuously renewed beauty. And for this, we rejoice. We rejoice together with you because we know that you rejoice in your good creation, of which we are a part. Thank you for inviting us into that. Thank you for the way you continue to bless us and help us to be a blessing to others in all of the ways that we find opportunity. Help us not to be so concentrated on the things that hurt or worry us that we forget to care about those who are around us, our neighbors. Teach us how to love our neighbors well. We pray for the other churches as our neighbors and their leaders. We remember to pray for the Presbyterian Church, as well as the Peace Church in Regina. We pray for our far neighbors that are struggling with things that we are not yet struggling with. And we think and we hear about climate change all the time. And we see that there have been so many things happening in our world. Give us wisdom in knowing how to respond to them. And we pray for the people in China who are struggling with these earthquakes that happen, as the flooding in Pakistan, and the man-made disasters in Ukraine and Russia. And we pray for an end to this conflict, as we pray for an end to all conflict, an end to war. And you've said that your kingdom is here and is coming. Give us eyes that will see that and hearts that are ready to jump in and be a part of that, not only the hand-wringing and the worry. And so in that light, we pray for those new leaders that are in Burkina Faso, in a country where they're struggling. We pray for this new and upcoming leadership, and we pray that you would give them wisdom and strength and courage and safety in fulfilling this ministry you've called them to. We pray for all of those who are affected by the events that happened in James Smith Cree Nation. We pray for these, our neighbors. We pray that you would comfort them, comfort all of us. Help us to understand how your love and mercy flows from your heart. We pray for healing. We pray for love and care for all of those who are now living with loss. And so we remember even our friends and our families here who continue to pray to live with loss And we ask that you would be the source of comfort and support. Guide us in all that we say and we do, so that we would not continue to add pain where people are already suffering, but that we would be sources of comfort. And we pray with one voice, just the way you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We'd like to sing from Sing the Story Again, song number 49, I Will Come to You in the Silence. Song written in the first person, and it's God speaking to us through all the four verses, giving us assurance. Let's stand, please. 49.
This morning's scripture is coming from Luke 15, verses 1 to 10, and it's from the New International Version. I'll be reading two parables. First one is the lost sheep, and the second one is the lost coin. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord.
And I'd like to remind each of you that you have the opportunity to do what Linda just did. Read scripture on a Sunday morning. If you want to sign your name up on the back bulletin board, we've got a list. You don't have to do it every Sunday. You probably wouldn't even have to do it once a month. But every once in a while, every so often, your name would come up and you could read the scripture. If you think you would like to do that ministry, please put your name on that list, and then we'll start that kind of a rotation. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Never cut your losses. I know you're not ever supposed to say never. Never say never. But I think if we follow the example of these parables, these little stories, we can see that God and Jesus, using these parables, do not cut their losses. But before we get into the cutting or the not cutting of losses, let's pay close attention to how this parable or these parables came to be. The key to the beginning of these parables, why did Jesus even tell this parable? Why are we even talking about this cutting of losses? The key is because there were many sinners who were coming. Oh, don't you just hate that? Well, apparently there were religious people who did hate that. And the religious people were the grumbling ones. The sinners were the ones who were happy to come to Jesus. So there's something about Jesus and Jesus' message that is attractive to people. And then there is something that makes those religious folks grumble. So that's the key. And I would like for us to be considering for ourselves, let's just see if this morning, in what we hear and read and experience, if we can see ourselves, be aware of who we are, and see God's heart. I'm not going to tell you anything really new. It's just a reminder of what we already know and maybe a mixing, a different kind of mixing of the ingredients. So you know you have standard ingredients in your kitchens and you put them together in different ways and ta-da, you create all sorts of different new novel dishes. So same thing with these scriptures. And you're saying, scriptures? We only heard one. We heard the Luke passage. Correct. However, there are three other scriptures that were on the lectionary for this morning, and oddly enough, they all fit together so nicely to make a complete picture of this idea that God is seeking the lost and rejoicing in the finding of the lost. So what I'm going to do is one by one, step by step, they'll be very short steps, but look at these lectionary passages. So you might need a pen, unless your memory is way better than mine, because I put down Luke 15, 1 to 8, not realizing, hello, right there, 1 to 10. But the first text begins in Psalm 14. Psalm 14, and remember, we're not cutting our losses. And, oh well, is not part of the conversation. You know what I mean when I say, oh well? You have something, or you have a group of something, and then one falls out, and you go, oh well. And you go on, right? Because you've still got a whole bunch of whatever it was. And that's what the whole idea of cutting the losses. But this, oh well, is not a part of the conversation. If you look at Psalm 14, in Psalm 14, fools say there is no God. And we sit together smugly and think, yes, those foolish people who don't believe in God, who don't even admit there is a God, even if they don't want to have a relationship with God, they say there is no God. However, if we continue to read that psalm, it comes a little closer to home because the psalm itself says, all go astray. All means all. Not the wicked constantly go astray and the righteous keep following after God and seeking God. Good righteous people, bad wicked people. That's how our minds tend to go. That's how our own self-righteousness tends to lead us. And then when people expose themselves as being those wicked who go astray or who fall off, you know, don't attend or they're not in the group as much or as often as they used to be. And then all at once someone says, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? And then we sit and smugly say, oh, well, it's their choice. They choose. And then we gather the horses or gather the, what do they say? Gather the wagons. Thank you. Gather the wagons. And the circle gets smaller and smaller, and you got to hold on tighter and tighter because you have a smaller and smaller number. However, Psalm, like one of the voices of a choir, gives us the message in a different way. All go astray. And God is looking over the face of the earth and saying, are any seeking after God? Is there anyone? Anyone? And God is saying, no. All go astray. So the first point from Psalm, the voice from Psalm, the voice in the choir, the loss is universal. So imagine if God was cutting God's losses, at one point or another, it would be one of us. It would be us. We would have been cut. Think about your life. Aren't there moments when God should have and could have and still probably could cut God's losses and say, no, this one is not doing so much, is not doing so well. I'm always pulling leaves off of that plant I have in the back room there, the dried up, withered ones. And I think, well, these nice green leaves aren't going to get as much moisture. These other ones are sucking the life out of my plant, and so I'm plucking them off. Now, if God was doing that with us, oh, I would have been long gone by now. That's the first voice. The second voice comes from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 11 to 12 and 22 to 28. And here's another voice. And the reason I'm using this, the idea of voices in a choir, is because we understand the four-part harmony and we love the way it all sounds when the voices come together, right? But when we favor one particular voice, we miss out on the harmony or the completeness of the message. And the beauty doesn't come through. When we were singing together in COVID era, and Ken was inviting us all to sing our part, record our part, send it to him, and then he put it all together, it sounded wonderful. Well, my husband decided to save the file where I was singing my alto part on his phone. Every once in a while, when he's fiddling with his phone, and then this droning sound comes out of it. Oh, it sounds awful. And there, it's me singing my alto part, which is no more than two or three notes. Four, if we're lucky. Isn't that right, Brenda? Alto is just really, really dull when you're singing it alone. And that's what happens when we focus on one kind of scripture that makes us feel comfortable or happy. We're not listening to the other voices of the choir. And these scriptures are all talking to each other. So here we have the second voice in Jeremiah. And some of us who love to have this black and white clarity, Jeremiah is saying in God's voice, look, I am calling out. Maybe we should take a little look at Jeremiah. You don't have to turn there. It might be hard to find. But in Jeremiah, the loss is gut-wrenching. I want to find the, I don't want to read the whole of the text. And my eye lights on verse 19, even though it's not included in this. But it says, my anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the walls of my heart. My heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent. The loss is gut-wrenching and personal. And this is God's loss. God is calling out to God's people, and God is coming forward. At that time, it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, to this people, this isn't about the wicked anymore. This is all of a sudden about this people, a hot wind. This is very apropos. It's supposed to be 31 degrees today. We know about hot wind. We've experienced it for the last month. A hot wind comes out from the bare heights. Yeah, again, bare heights in the desert. Yeah, we know about this toward my poor people. Not to winnow, not to cleanse. A wind too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them. This is God speaking in judgment on God's people. And yet, if we look at verse 14, this is a judgment. This is God's whirlwind, God's horses. And then verse 14, O Jerusalem, wash your heart clean of wickedness so that you may be saved. The loss is gut-wrenching to God. Anytime God's people go astray, go our own way, God is longing for us, calling to us, finding any ways or means to draw us back so that, not so that you may be destroyed, so that you may just be justly punished, so that justice might be served. We hear that a lot. We say that a lot. We long for that a lot. I know I do. And I could give you a list of the ones that I want to see justice meted out on. That's why we have to be brought back to Scripture, so that our hearts and our minds before God and God's Word might be aligned with God's way of thinking. And even as God is saying, my judgment is coming and it is fierce like a hot wind, God is still inviting and saying, turn, turn, change your ways, come to me so that you may be saved. The goal, God's goal, is always to regain the loss, not cut God's losses, wasting a lot of valuable time. Don't you think? This is what God does. So much more could be produced, and so much bigger and better things could come if God would just cut God's losses. But that is not how God works. This is the heart of God, that this agony and anguish is real. And as God is speaking with force, yet saying, turn so that you may be saved. God longs for us. And I'm saying this to us because there may be people right here who recognize, oh, yeah, I have sort of wandered away. It might look different to each one of us. But if we have wandered away and strayed away from hearing the voice of God, from listening to the voice of God, from being in God's presence, God is calling and drawing you, not condemning, not... That's us. God is longing because the loss is so gut-wrenching and personal. Verse 22, God says, my people. The third step, the third voice in this, well, I guess it's got to be a quartet because there will be four texts. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. The loss is reversible. Don't hear that very often, do we? The loss is reversible. And I'm thinking, of course, hair loss. Wouldn't it be great if we said, hair loss is reversible? Everybody get up and cheer. Hooray! Not only those who have lost, but those who love those who are losing. This loss is reversible. Jump up and say, hooray! And Paul is the one who is speaking. Paul is saying, look, I was the worst of the worst. And we love to say that Paul is the worst of all sinners, so it can't be me, because it's Paul. But Paul is also inviting us to recognize, yeah, it is me. It is me. And God's mercy and love was poured out so that I could be drawn back in. I am a prime example. You know, on TV, when they have these commercials of just all sorts of wacky things that are supposed to work, take this pill and this will happen. Take this medicine and that will happen and your life will be wonderful as long as you have the right medicine. And they, the spokespeople, are always the ones to demonstrate the cure. You're never going to have, pardon me, men, a bald man on TV saying, look how well this works. No one would believe it. So Paul right here is using himself and saying, look how well this works. Look what God has done. I was the worst. And now I can say that because God's love and mercy have been poured out on me. If it can happen to me, it can happen to you. And it's never too late, even if you're already in your 90s and you think, oh, this is such a ripe old age, not even so ripe anymore, just an old age. God is still calling you, still longing to draw you in. It doesn't matter what your situation is. You are being called and drawn by God and God's losing of you, or even that distance in the relationship, is gut-wrenching to God. Gut-wrenching. But it's reversible. And Paul says, look at what happened. Christ came to save sinners. I'm an example. I've been saved from this. We don't like that language because we don't like those evangelicals. Nonetheless, there it is. Saved. Oh, phew. It's a good thing. Remember, this is a very personal thing. Don't point fingers and say, are you saved? Have you been saved? Point your fingers back at yourself. Christ came to save sinners. Our situation is reversible. The loss is reversible. And finally, we come to the Luke passage that Linda read. Luke 15, and we recognize God's heart. Maybe in these other passages, we've recognized our hearts, our attitudes towards others, not even recognizing we need to be looking in the mirror and seeing what kind of loss there has been. But in this Luke passage, because there were those who grumbled, who didn't want people to come to Jesus, include yourself in the group of sinners who was coming. All sorts of crazy people were coming to Jesus because he was so attractive, something that we long for and we need. And then he told the parable, said, look, maybe I have all of these who don't need to repent. Red flag. All those who don't need to repent. Well, after all of those scriptures, don't we know there's no one who doesn't need to repent? There's no one who doesn't need it. We, right here, we all need that repentance. And then Jesus says, I am going to chase down. I am going to follow. I am going to come after. I am longing for all of those who have gone away. Maybe quietly drifted. Maybe they don't even realize it. You know how sheep are? Well, maybe you don't. I don't really know either. But when you have your head down, and then you just go one step and another step and another step and another step, and suddenly you find yourself, how on earth did I get here? How did my heart get here? And God is longing. And then when he finds, this is the best part. And if you don't remember anything else, that's okay. But just remember this part. Jesus said, rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. Don't condemn. Don't remind the person of all of the things or all the bad places or bad ideas or whatever it is. Rejoice with me, I have found. I take this one that was lost, I put him on my shoulders, that closeness. I'm holding, I'm carrying, I'm longing for, hanging on. And rejoice with me, inviting all who have watched and witnessed God in God's kingdom, God's movement in our world all around us. Is the kingdom here? That's a real question, by the way. Is the kingdom here? Yes. God's kingdom is already here, and God is acting in God's kingdom. God is already doing these things, and God is inviting us to rejoice with God in the acts of God's kingdom. See ourselves, see God's heart, and receive the joy that comes from rejoicing with God in God's acts. Amen.
That's wonderful assurance that Lois has given to us in her thinking and her musings and her message to us. And the song, Nothing is Lost on the Breath of God, is a wonderful summary. Sing the story, 121. So as you sing the song, hear the words again of God's assurance. 121, let's stand, please.
Oh,
Please bow for the benediction. May the Lord direct our hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Amen.
Let us go from here with the sending song 538, Lead Me, Lord, in the hymnal. 538.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.